Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Talk about the Sooners, the Cowboys, and the Buffs. Talk about the Tigers and his tail. Talk about the Wildcats and those Cornhuskin boys. But I'm the bird that makes them weep and wail.
And James Strebel.
Because I'm a J-J-J-J-J-Hawk up in Lawrence on the call. What's the call? Up at Lawrence on the Caw, K-A-W. Because I'm a J-J-J-J-J-Hawk with a sis boom hip hurrah.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
There we go. Had some Dan Issel singing. Got a little yacht rock coming back. I like it. Today, 76ers versus Mavs, 7 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. And the ESPN Louisville app, Louisville Sports Live. Tonight, join our guys, Ethan Moore and Taylor Lynch, from 7 to 9 p.m. on 93.9. That's after the Cardinal Insider and Jody Dimling. 93.9 The Ville on the ESPN Louisville app as well. So we'll see what the guys have to say about their cards tonight. I love to listen to those two jabber on about the Cardinals. All right. A lot going on. 437-968 if you want to call in and be a part of the show. Thank you all so much for texting, being a part of the show, tweeting, all that you're all doing. Really appreciate it. Now, we have the legend himself, Dan Issel, on the line. Dan, first off, thank you for joining the show. So happy. Man, I don't think I've talked to you since we did that radio show together about, what, a year and a half ago? Or how long ago was it, Dan? Welcome in.
Yeah, well, thank you, James. Yeah, you did. You sat in for Mike Pratt one day, and we had a great time. Of course, I've heard you numerous occasions, but you didn't know I was listening. So now, let me ask you a question, okay?
Sure, Dan. Anything you want, man.
The name of this show is First Watch with Sandy Sweezy and Jimmy Streetle, right?
That's so correct. Close enough.
So how come... How come Sandy is on his way to Houston, but Jimmy's still in the studio?
That's, you know what, Dan? I didn't expect it to start off this way, but that's a great question. So here's what it is. So Andy, he's going to the Final Four. He's going to hobnob it with Bill Walton and Seth Davis and maybe a Jim Nance. I don't know if he'll go that high up the ladder, Dan, but you know what I mean. He's going to be talking to some people.
Sure.
I have a day job. You know, I'm a school teacher as well. I also have three children that are all very active in travel, baseball, and sports and all those things, Dan. So it's very difficult for me to get away. But most importantly, Dan, I have to be invited first.
Got it.
So I wasn't invited. So
that was my exact question, James. Yeah, that was my exact question.
Well, I'm glad I got to answer that for you there, Dan. So appreciate you coming in again. Love listening to you and as you call him, Lewis and Avery. We play you guys here on The Take all the time. You guys really provide some really funny stuff for us and just enjoy hearing you, Dan. But I got to start off with a little beef. I got a little chip on my shoulder here that I've got to address first. Is that all right, Dan?
Absolutely, and I know what's coming, so have at.
All right, so you heard the rejoin, and you know you singing the Kansas fight song, and during that entire time where you were talking about going to Lawrence and the T-shirts you were going to get and addressing the team, it hurt me deep inside as someone that grew up rooting for BBN, that still roots for BBN, and my dad, I don't know if you know this or not, Dan, I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but my father... He was growing up when you and Mike were playing for Adolph Rupp, and he used to pretend to be Dan Issel and Mike Pratt in the backyard shooting the basketball. You were his two favorite players of all time. And my father has not heard any of this, by the way. If I played him the sound of you singing I'm a J-J-J-J-J-Hawk, he might go and meet his maker before he's ready. So you know how that sunk me, Dan. It broke my heart. I almost wept. I lashed out. I turned my sadness into anger. And I just needed you to know that, and need you to know that BBN, they don't look fondly on that. I just do you have a rebuttal for me and maybe for the rest of BBN that looked at Dan Issel a little side eye as he was on TV wearing that big Jayhawk on television?
Well, first of all, you know I bleed blue. You have to
Kansas
know
blue.
That,
no, I'm kidding.
No. Big blue.
All right,
big
there we
blue.
Go.
That's where my heart is, and that's where my heart will always be. Having said that, going to the Fog has always been on my bucket list. And
sure.
It's one of the venues, one of the college venues that I have not had not been to. And I was supposed to go the year before when Kentucky played there and came down with COVID symptoms. Mm-hmm. And couldn't make the trip. So it's a long story, but James, basically, our best friends here in Denver, their granddaughter goes to Kansas.
Oh.
And we planned this trip last summer, and I said, Morgan, I always wanted to see the Fog. I think I can get us pretty good tickets. We'll come. I'll come, and that just happened to be the game I was. But I have to say this, James.
Yes,
I have got to know Bill Self a little bit, and I'm a Bill Self fan. Obviously, I'm not going to cheer for him when he plays Kentucky.
Sure,
but I'm going to cheer for him when he plays just about anybody else. And he got me great seats. He got me T-shirts, as you said. I had a chance to visit with him for about 20 minutes. And I don't know if I'll ever have the Jayhawk T-shirt on again, but I thought everything he did for me on that trip, I could do that. So, and maybe I did it a little bit to raise the ire of some people in the bluegrass state.
I like, you know what, Dan? I like to hear that. I really do, because there's some things I'd like to do to raise the ire of some people in the bluegrass state as well at times. You know, I can be a contrarian, and I don't always buy into Kentucky's always great at everything, and I had my questions about John Calipari, and we'll get to that here in a few minutes, because I'd like to, know your thoughts on that as well. But you know, just speaking of Bill Self, it was a sad situation that he wasn't able to coach Kansas. So look, I'm no Kansas fan. I'm one of those people that takes the all-time wins record very seriously. And I want Kentucky to have that record again, but I don't want that to happen at the expense of Bill Self's health. And I think that it was very important that, in that game, Eric Musselman only wins by 1 point. How many points do you think Bill Self is worth to that team? And I don't think we'd be talking about a second round exit for Kansas in that situation. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Although, James, I will say this. I think Kansas missed 5 out of their last 7 free throws in that
well,
game.
Well, and he's not coaching that free throw line. You're right.
Yeah,
exactly.
And Bill isn't going to make a difference in that. And Norm Roberts is I've known Norm as long as I've known Bill, and he's adequate, but I agree with you. I mean, it's your head coach and it's an assistant coach. So, no, I agree with you completely. I don't think Arkansas wins that game if Bill's on the sideline, but he is doing, thank goodness they caught it before it, turned into something serious or real serious.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be back again next year. So that's good. I can see where you're coming from on the all-time win list. That didn't even enter my mind. But the University of Kansas, University of Kentucky, and Kansas University are really intertwined. We got to the Fog early enough. I have to mention this guy too, Roger Morningstar, who played at Kansas, whose son played at Kansas, and whose son is now on the staff at Kansas. I've known Roger. Roger was the Converse rep when I got to Denver the middle of the 70s here with the Nuggets. So Roger was the one who set it all up. But, you know, we got there early and we walked through the Kansas Basketball Hall of Fame. And, I mean, they got pictures of Adolph Rupp in the Kansas Basketball Hall of Fame.
He's a part of that program. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's the two programs, I think, are intertwined. And, you know, that happened to be the game that we picked out that I would go to Lawrence. And I sure as heck wasn't rooting for West Virginia. So.
Oh, heck no. No one's rooting for Bobby Huggins. Heck no. Now, out of all the blue bloods that Kentucky's rivalries with, I mean, I guess Kansas to me is the most palatable. Like, I can't Duke, no. Get Duke all the way out of here. There would be no chance that I would ever. But I guess there's that more respectability between Kansas and Kentucky. So I see where you're coming from. Even though we are rivals, it's a high-class rivalry. It's not like down in the dirt and the muck like it is with Louisville. That's a little different.
100%. 100%. And Bill even said that to me. He said, I know it's a rivalry. He said, but I think it's a rivalry out of respect. Those were his exact words. And he said, I walk down the street. We go to Lexington. I walk down the street in Lexington. He said, I've never had a UK fan say anything crossways to me. You know, and I don't think Duke or North Carolina or Tennessee or
no.
Maybe even Louisville can say that.
Well, if Bill walked into the KS bar, I bet there'd be a couple of fans that would say something cross to him. he gets the Ryan Lemon Cobb salad. There's somebody might say something to him in that case. Dan Issel joining us, the great Dan Issel, just all around Hall of Famer, Kentucky, ABA, NBA. He's the king of Kentucky, the lord of Lexington, the dean of Denver, and the count of Colorado. I think I'd try to give you every royal title there is there, Dan, so I'm sucking up to you.
That's very nice. And please tell your father that I appreciate that when he was a little boy, he pretended to be me or Mike in the backyard. I love stories like that.
Absolutely. I'll let him know that, Dan. Just, you know, thanks for your time and spending here with me. What did you think about this season as a whole? I know you talk with Louie and Avery about this a lot, but, I mean, John Calipari, once again, I don't know if you heard it or not, but I talked to David Sisk. He covers the Cats for the Rivals Network. He's pretty plugged into the team. And one of the more shocking things that he said was that Ugonna Onyenso, he does not expect him to come back to Kentucky, Dan, and he thinks that he will definitely transfer, and he expects somewhere like the Big East. And it's not really a decision of his. It's more of his people that are influencing him and managing him, and they want him somewhere else. I mean, just on the heels of the Shaedon Sharpe fiasco, and now you have this. What do you think is going through John Calipari's mind? Because he likes to control everything. He likes to control the narrative. He likes to control the media. Obviously, he likes to control his team. Now he seems like he's in a world, Dan, where he's losing a little bit of that control.
Well, yeah, I guess you could make that point. And the Shaedon Sharpe thing, I can't explain that, James. I don't know what went on there. And you see that how he has started to come around. I mean, he's scored in the 20s anymore.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, and he obviously is a very good player. I certainly wouldn't put Onyenso. I'm not that sold on Onyenso. I mean, if he's standing there and somebody shoots a basketball, he'll block it. But, you know, if you bump into him, he winds up outside the paint. So, but I understand what you're saying. And I don't know. This past season, something wasn't right.
Right.
And I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, although I'm wondering, as soon as Kansas State beat us, the first thing he said, not the first thing, but among the first things he said was, I don't expect any of the seniors to be back. And you know how I translated that, James? I don't want any of the seniors to be back. And, you know, Wheeler's already in the transfer portal. I think he wants – he's got – if you watched the McDonald's game last night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's got some kids coming in that can play. Now, if Onyenso is leaving, I don't think that's a great loss. But he's going to have to get in the portal and get some kids – some big kids. I think the perimeter is in great shape. I hope Livingston comes back. Looking at Bradshaw, I mean, I don't know why we keep recruiting these 7-foot kids that don't weigh 200 pounds. I expected him to be a little bigger than that. But the one thing that I kept questioning, and who am I? I mean, I'm not in the Hall of Fame as a coach. He is. So who am I to be questioning what he does? But it looks like, to me, it looks like the assistant coaches have very little input on what's going on. I watch some of these other coaches.
Yeah.
Larenaga, 73 years old. And the other day when they were playing, who were they? Texas. He, you know, his assistant coaches are up talking to him, and he's talking back. The only time Cal talks to his assistants is when he tells him to sit down. So I don't know if he doesn't want any help from his assistants, if he's not getting any help. But I thought there were times, I'm going to tie the two together. I thought there were times this year where they were not as prepared to play their opponent as their opponent was to play them.
I think you're right on that.
There were games, James, where I saw opponents making in-game adjustments that I didn't see Kentucky making, and that was the part that concerned me.
I mean, and you look at Vanderbilt as to me, those are those two Vanderbilt games were the prime suspects when you're talking about that, where you have, you know, Jerry Stackhouse played a specific way in both games, and we never adjusted the way Jerry Stackhouse played, which was you don't expect Calipari or any Kentucky coach to not be able to adjust to the Vanderbilt coach. And that's, you know, not taking anything away from Jerry Stackhouse, but that's not traditionally a program where you look at and say, okay, yeah, it's okay that we get put out of the SEC tournament by that program. But Aaron Bradshaw, I'm glad you brought him up. See, I think you and I disagree on this. He did a pretty good job in the paint, I thought, rebounding, and I think Calipari is going to play him more as a stretch four than a back-to-the-basket post-type player. As you saw, he could actually shoot and hit from the perimeter, very good free-throw shooter. So I don't think he's going to play as a traditional post player. That's why it's so important that now that Onyenso is gone, Cal's going to have to do some major work in the portal and get some grown men in there for the post for Kentucky.
Yeah, and yeah, that's a great point, because they even said on TV last night that Bradshaw is a lot more comfortable facing the basket than he is with his back to the basket. And maybe the way the game's played today, maybe that's not important. I was talking more about the defensive end. I thought, you know, when Onyenso wasn't ready physically to play, I love Oscar. Oscar's going to be one of the all-time favorite players that ever played at Kentucky, but he was never mistaken for a defensive force.
No.
I mean, he could rebound, but you still, even though the game is more guard-oriented and 3 points, you brought up Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt beat us because they kept getting to the hole.
Yeah.
And Cal's going to have to come up with somebody that can stop that. And I don't see Onyenso, if he stays, or Bradshaw being that person.
All right, Dan, one more thing for you here before I let you go. I have a caller that really wants to talk to you. His name's Ryan. He's going to tell you he's an older guy, and he loves you. So, Ryan, here's Dan Issel. What do you got to say to Big Is? You only got a minute here, Ryan.
Okay, Dan, first of all, I appreciate what you did for Mike Pratt, standing up for him. And I agree with a lot of things you say, but I root against certain teams like Kansas, UCLA, because they're up at all-time wins with championship. But I do want to do this before I get off. Coach Rupp, you come to a practice one time, and here's what Coach Rupp said. Now, you boys, I'm going to tell you, listen, it's Dan Issel. Now, you make sure you get him the ball. You hear me?
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
I am. Thanks, Ryan.
He loves to do his Adolph Rush, Rupp impression, Dan. I think you want to do that just for you today.
It was pretty much right on, too.
Yeah, there you go. All right, just before I get you out of here, you and Louie do a great job. Sometimes you and Louis, as you call him, like the butt heads every once in a while. How's that relationship going? You guys still good? You're still going out for breakfast and coffee sometimes? You still going over to the Louie Manor and having grilled chicken and all that stuff? You guys good, Dan? Because we get a little worried around here every once in a while.
No, we're great. I have to tell you, James, seriously, I didn't know, you know, the fact that I'm basically in Denver all the time now, and I didn't know if I wanted to keep doing the show without Mike, because I mean, that was so special to do it with him, to, you know, with our prep, you spend 3 hours a day together and just telling stories and enjoying each other's company. That was very special to me. And I didn't know if I wanted to keep doing it or not, but we had some sponsors paid up for a couple of months that I didn't want to run on. And so I said, well, I'll do this for a couple of months, but I really enjoy it. I mean, Louie has a hockey background, which is completely foreign to me. But
me too.
he's pretty knowledgeable when it comes to sports. He's every once in a while he gets a little off track, and I have to bring him back, you know, back to the herd. But no, we're solid. We're good.
All right, Dan. Hey, man, thank you very much for coming on. And if you're in during Derby, hopefully I'll see you around. I'll be at the track a couple days, so hope to run into you, Dan. Appreciate you taking the time.
Always a pleasure. Anytime, James. And I am going to be back in Louisville for Derby week, and we'll have an adult beverage or two together.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Dan. Take care, man. Dan Issel, Issel and Louie here on ESPN 680, 105.7, 10 to noon, Monday through Friday. Take care, Dan.
Thanks, James.
All right, there we go. Little Dan Issel on a Wednesday. I like that. Avery was so funny. For those of you that don't know, Ryan is a caller on the show. He likes calling the post game shows. He likes doing impressions. He likes Dan Issel, and I knew what he wanted to do. Avery, she answered the phone and was kind of like looking at me the entire time she was talking to Ryan on the other end.
It was so awkward. It's like, I've never taken any calls on this show.
Oh, we rarely take calls.
Yeah, normally I just have it muted, and today that just wasn't it today.
Right. Well, no, it's one of those things where when you text it, because I'm kind of looking at you, and you're looking at me, and you have a confused look on your face. I'm like, uh-oh, am I in trouble? Like, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? And someone's calling in, and then you text me. It's like, it's Ryan. He wants to talk to Dan. I knew exactly who it was. I knew exactly what he wanted to do. So there we go. So appreciate that time with Dan. So, yeah, I asked him the hard questions there with Kansas. I thought he gave some good, understandable answers there. So I appreciate it, Dan, coming on. Hopefully he and Louie are all good to go tomorrow. A couple texts here, Avery, before we take a break. We're going to get Tobias Bass in from The Athletic. He was at the McDonald's All-American game. Texture, great job with Big Is Strebel. Very cool. Texture, oh, Ryan, that was great. Texter Strebel, don't act like Self is immune to first and second round losses. He's had a career's worth. Plus, KU is going to give about 50 wins back. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, Kansas, Bill Self and Kansas lose early way more often than Kentucky and John Calipari do. There's no mistaking that. And, yeah, I know that I don't know how many games Kansas is going to lose because they went the route with the IARP. I don't know what's going to happen to Kansas. Just win basketball games. If you want to beat Kansas, you want to take the all-time wins lead back over, just win basketball games. That's all you got to do. Don't lose to Michigan State at the beginning of the year. Don't lose to Gonzaga. Don't lose to Vanderbilt twice. Don't lose to Missouri. Beat those teams. Get back to winning ways. Texture, Kansas is great, but we're the silver standard. We're number two. We're number two with Cal. We're doo-doo. okay, that was pretty funny. Texter, I posted up Dan Issel at the Blue Courts on UK campus back in 1965. totally embarrassed the Issel. I don't believe that. I don't think you did that. Texter, the Issel missile finally unite on air. Absolutely loved every single minute of it. So there we go. All right, we got plenty to go left here on the show. Got you till 6 o'clock. We'll be coming up after the break here in a few moments. We're going to have Tobias Bass. He writes for The Athletic. He is a first-time guest here, so I'm excited to have him. I'm excited to talk to him, get his perspective on what he saw, not just the Kentucky guys, but the McDonald's All-American game and the next best players in college basketball. Bronny James, Isaiah Collier, Ronald Holland, some of the few names that stood out. He wrote about that. We'll talk to him. After that, we're going to talk about Lamar Jackson. He's back in the news. I mean, it's just been day after day of Lamar Jackson news, and you know, too bad for Lamar Jackson. Not much is good for him. We've got a mock draft. We've got Kentucky football salaries. We've got a weird Wednesday. It's all locked and loaded here on The Take, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Rummage actually follows me on that one. I don't know how he found me.
And James Strebel.
But he found me on that one. I was nice and followed him back.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Louisville baseball schedule Friday. Louisville at NC State. That game's at 5:50 p.m. over at 93.9 The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app. Also on that station, on that app, they have an entire series Saturday. That's at 3:50 p.m. And then Sunday, the series wraps up 11:50 a.m. all on 93.9 The Ville. Text lines pop in. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Let's go ahead and get our next guest in here. It's a first-timer here on The Take, Tobias Bass, at Tobias_Bass on Twitter if you want to follow him there. He writes for The Athletic. He was at the McDonald's All-American game, the practices. He wrote an article up on The Athletic. Bronny James, Ron Holland, DJ Wagner, and observations from the McDonald's All-American game. Great stuff there. Go read it. Tobias, welcome to the show. Glad to have you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. Always excited when we get a first-time guest here. I'm based out of Louisville. That's where we do our radio show here, Tobias. But I'm a Kentucky fan. Just right off the bat, how excited should I be for those four guys playing on my team next season?
I think you'd be very excited. You know, there were 24 guys that were there at the McDonald's American camp, and two of the top three were Kentucky players, Aaron Bradshaw and DJ Wagner. I heard that from an NBA scout and many others. So I think you guys should be very excited for what they're going to bring to the table next year.
Yeah, what did you think of that game last night? Most all-star games, you know, are all offensively generated. You get a lot of offense, a lot of scoring, but there seemed to be like an extra tenacity on the court last night as I watched. And normally it's just one of those events where guys kind of let guys go by them, a little bit of matador defense, not really a lot of battles under the basket on the glass. But in the second half specifically, that seemed to go all out the window. These dudes were looking to compete last night. Was it the same in person? How intense was it on the court last night?
No, I agree. I think that was probably the best McDonald's American game I've watched. And Paul Benicardi, he told me specifically at the end of the game, he said that was by far the best and the most competitive McDonald's American game he's been a part of since he's been a part of, you know, the committee. So for him to say that, he's been around, you know, forever, that tells you how hard those guys were playing. You know, they were fighting over screens, you know, they were battling for rebounds, really, you know, trying to defend each other. So it was very impressive, and I wasn't expecting that going into it, but I was glad I was there to be a part of it.
There's a narrative out there, Tobias, that this class, you know, isn't the best class. It's okay. There's been a lot of downplaying of this class. Did your time at the practices and at the game last night, did that change that narrative at all?
I mean, there definitely has been a lot of talk about this class not being as strong. I mean, I get it from that perspective, but there's always going to be, you know, there's been plenty of guys that we've had ranked very high that don't pan out. There's been guys that haven't been ranked at all that haven't panned out. I mean, you look at guys like Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. None of those guys were even three-star recruits. Mm-hmm. And those guys, some of them, I named a couple of Hall of Famers in that list. So comparing to this class, I think there's going to be a bunch of sleepers in this class. And I think some guys that just may come out of nowhere, they may make a large jump to the top, and we'll be talking about those guys for years to come.
Is there anybody that was at that game last night, or maybe that wasn't a McDonald's All-American that you know as a recruit that maybe fits that narrative? Somebody that we're not talking about right now that Paul Biancardi and others really aren't showcasing, maybe that might surprise us next season on the collegiate level?
The one he's actually going to Louisville is Trenton Flowers. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of the reclass going up a level, but he's a kid that I think that he does things the right way, super smart, loves the game, really talented. I can see a year from now, or maybe even 2 years from now, he could be a high lottery pick. I think he's good enough. I think he has the skill set and, you know, the mental wherewithal to be that type of player. So he's one that I would definitely look out for. And another would be Caleb Foster. I thought that he was one of the snubs. He's mm-hmm. going to Duke. I think that kid's really good. Steph Curry sees him as his little mini protege. Steph Curry loves that kid. He flies him out to California all the time and works him out himself. So if you have the best shooter of all time having that kind of faith in you, that tells you what he could become in the next couple of years.
Yeah, Louisville fans would like to hear that Trenton Flowers news for sure, Tobias. Is he a kid that – do you think that he'll be able to – you mentioned 2-3 years down the road. I'm not saying this year him as a one-and-done player, but do you think he can contribute to Louisville's team this season? I know that reclassification is a tough prospect. We've had that here at Kentucky. Devin Askew, he reclassified. He yep. didn't work out. Ashton Hagans, he reclassified. He was pretty good, but, you know, he struggled a little bit his freshman year, but did make it to Elite Eight in the next season. You know, that was a really good team. Do you expect Trenton Flowers to be able to contribute and be a go-to guy for Louisville in 2023-2024, because Kenny Payne's going to need guys like that?
I think he will go in and be able to contribute. You know, he's going to have to gain weight. I'm not concerned about that. He has a good frame to gain weight, one, and he's like 17. They'll get that guy in the gym this summer, and he'll gain weight. I think he will be a you know, he's going to have to get his feet wet, but I think once he gets adjusted to that speed, I think he'll be fine. You know, I don't want to put too much on him, but if he had a really good freshman campaign and they were like, you know what, he might be a prospect, I can see him doing it. I think he's good enough. You know, like I said, he's going to have to gain weight and get used to the speed, but I think once he gets adjusted to that, I think just the overall skill set of what he brings to the table. I mean, he's 6'9", fluid mobility, and can shoot it. You don't see many guys like that floating around in the country.
Yeah, that's music to their ears. They had a rough year last year, Tobias. 4-28.
Yeah, they did.
they're looking for feel-good stories. They're looking for a little bit of juice to get ready for the next season. First half of that game, switching back to the Kentucky guys, first half of that game, DJ Wagner, Aaron Bradshaw. I mean, Justin Edwards was pretty good, but those two guys specifically were a little quiet. What changed for them in the second half? As you know, you were there again in person. DJ Wagner erupts for 19 points, leads the East to a victory. They were down the entire first half and at halftime. What happened? What switch flipped? What exactly was the reason behind that ignition of DJ Wagner? And Aaron Bradshaw, too, had 18 points and 8 rebounds.
I think, you know, they really got more focused. You know, their coaches were kind of using little tools to motivate them. And, you know, for Wagner, his dad's there, his granddad's there. You know, you don't want to – both of them are McDonald's All-Americans. His dad played. He had 25 points when he was there. You don't want to be the – you know, the one of that group that didn't play well. So I think he kind of went to halftime, you know, kind of got some things together, and he had a phenomenal second half. And for Aaron Bradshaw, I think you saw the big, they were starting to compete a little bit more. They were getting more physical,
yeah.
You know, going for rebounds, you know, blocking each other's shots. And I think that's what kind of brought the best out of him. And he was by far the best big to me at the camp. I think he'll even be the first big to hear his name called next year, one and done. If he gets to that point, I think he'll be the very first bit to hear his name called.
Are you worried at all about Aaron Bradshaw's physicality? I mean, he's 7 foot, but he's slight. You know, he's not, you know, a big thick guy.
Right.
But I mean, I was encouraged last night. He was battling for rebounds. He was battling put back shots on the glass. Should Kentucky fans be worried about his physicality, or does he have the tools to be able to do that as well as going out the perimeter and hitting some jump shots?
I mean, he's New Jersey tough. Those kids like that, yeah, he is a little skinny, but he's New Jersey tough, man. I think that he'll ultimately be fine. If he had, well, you know, he showed that his range is expanded. He made several threes over the weekend. I think that he showed he's not just a, you know, back-to-the-basket 15-foot guy. He actually can stretch the floor a little bit and make threes, and he's going to be tough. He's going to rebound. He's going to block those shots. So I would give him a summer. He's going to get stronger just naturally once he's on a weight program and things like that. So I don't think he'll have too much time, and he'll have to adjust like any other freshman.
Tobias Bass with us from The Athletic here on The Take, ESPN 680, 105.7. Very knowledgeable. A lot of stuff. Again, go read his summary of the practices at The Athletic. A couple more for you here, Tobias, and we'll get you out of here. When it comes to the practices and the games, there's that storyline that the practices are actually more important than the games. Is that true? Then a follow-up to that, why isn't Bronny James ranked as a top 10 recruit?
So I think for the practices, this year was different. You know, most of the time the game, they don't play hard. I think this year the game was ultimately, could be argued, it was just as important as the practices. You know, the practices, they looked well. Some of the guys, you know, they were – you know, it's different. You know, they're coming from all over the country. You're playing with some of these guys for the first time. So some of them started off pretty slow. But I think once they got adjusted to being somewhere new, being around those guys for a couple of days, I think that the competitive spirit ultimately picked up. And I think that's why you got to see such a great product last night.
And then Bronny James, man. I mean, Tobias, he was awesome. I wasn't expecting that. I mean, he's top 30 kid, you know, four-star, five-star, depending on what service you're looking at. He's better than I thought he was. I mean, he's got a great shot. He has a high motor. Whatever school gets him, if he does go to college, is going to get a fantastic basketball player. Were you expecting that from Bronny James last night?
Yeah, he was. I mean, last night, you know, he shot it really, really well. I think he made, 5 threes. He shot it really, really well. Throughout the weekend, I've noticed that he's better off the ball than he is on. So you put him the next, I know, I don't want to get Trojan fans too happy, but if you put him next to Isaiah Collier, you know, USC is one of the schools Bronny's considering. I think that he could be really good. I think they could be really good in the backcourt together. You put him off the ball with his, you know, with his size, athletic ability, and able to hit, you know, jumpers off the catch, I think he could be really successful at the next level. So he really did impress me yesterday, and he looked like he was ready for those big moments. So I'm excited to see him. Hopefully he does decide to go to college.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm excited to watch him play too. I don't know if he's a one and done type. I think he'll be one and done no matter what. But it'll be interesting to see what he does in college. I'm actually very excited to watch him play. Did you meet anybody out there that kind of knocked your socks off? That you were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm. You know, I saw your Twitter. Yeah. You're taking pictures with some people out there. Anybody that you saw or ran into last night that had you starstruck, Tobias?
For me, I don't really get starstruck too much. You know, I was just, you know, happy just to meet anybody, but I sure. did get to meet Rich Paul. We had a little brief conversation. He's a really, really good dude. So just having a good conversation with him was really nice. And meeting, Caleb from Stranger Things. I'm a big Stranger Things fan.
Oh, he's cool.
The shirt in the picture.
Yeah.
So getting to talk. Yeah. You know, he was a really nice guy. He saw me. He saw my shirt. He was like, hey, man, we got to get a picture. So I thought that was really cool to, you know, get to spend time and talk to him for a couple of moments. But it was a great event, man. It was a ton of people there. The crowd was really into it. And the kids, you know, they really, really love Bronny, and they really, really love Jerry McCann. So getting to see them, you know, these future NBA players is really exciting.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Hey, great having you on, Tobias. We'll catch up down the line in the future. We'll keep reading your stuff to The Athletic. Appreciate the time, and take care, man. Take it easy.
No problem, man. Thank you. Anytime you want to have me on, just ask. I'm down to come on whenever.
All right. Appreciate it, Tobias. Thank you very much. Tobias Bass there from The Athletic. Really good stuff, man. I love having new guests on, and he knew his stuff. I mean, he had the nugget in there for Trenton Flowers. I had Avery cut that. Maybe Diener or somebody else would like to use that. Andy might want to hear that tomorrow, but that's some good stuff. So Louisville fans that are maybe that'll change your mind a little bit when it comes to these all-star freshmen. When you hear that report from Tobias Bass about Trenton Flowers being ready to go and, you know, possibly a lottery pick, maybe that'll change your mind a little bit there. All right. Before we get back to the text line, just a couple things here before we get to the text line, take a break, and then set up for the 5 o'clock hour. You know, Lamar Jackson, we've talked a lot about Lamar Jackson around here on all formats, on all shows. Just the situation that he's in with the Ravens, doing a little bit of tug of war, playing the game of chicken with the Baltimore Ravens. And so the news starts coming out today that teams that, you know, many of us thought would be interested in Lamar Jackson are saying no thanks. And one of those teams we talked about on, I believe it was Monday, was the Atlanta Falcons and how that would be a good landing spot for him. Big city, closer to his home in Florida. They need a franchise quarterback. Obviously, Desmond Ridder is fine, but he is not Lamar Jackson. And, I mean, we have Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons, coming out and saying this today. There's no question Lamar Jackson is one of the top QBs in the league. Looking at it objectively, there is some concern about whether or not he can play his style of game for how long can that last. Hopefully a long time, but he's missed 5-6 games each of the last 2 years. That's coming from Arthur Blank. And then the report coming out, this is from SI.com, that the New England Patriots would not be interested in pursuing Lamar Jackson. This comes from The Athletic's Jeff Lowe. The report comes off the heels of team owner Robert Kraft saying rapper Meek Mill texted him that Jackson was interested in joining the Patriots on Monday. The rapper is a mutual friend between Kraft and Lamar Jackson. So there are a lot of people that are doing that are sending feelers out to these different teams, and you just wonder, like, are those the right people? Like, do you want Meek Mill and Ken Francis to be the ones trying to get you a deal, trying to solidify you on a good or competitive team, trying to get you out of that situation in Baltimore? And look, I'm not a Lamar Jackson hater. I'm really not. I think he's a great quarterback. He's fun to watch. My kids like watching Lamar Jackson play the NFL on Sundays. And it's just a mind-boggling situation where it seems like there's nobody in the NFL that really wants any part of Lamar Jackson. And to some extent, I understand why, because of the way he's gone about things, and it's been unorthodox, I guess is a good way to put it. Not having an agent. And you know, we had, a guy from Baltimore in last week, and his name escapes me. But, you know, he was talking about, you know, how in Baltimore is very divided between Ravens fans and Lamar Jackson fans. And that in this day and age where the quarterback gets all the money, and Lamar Jackson is one of the best quarterbacks. I don't know if he's top five, but I put him in the top 10. You know, I think the top five is pretty clear cut with Joe Burrow, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen. I mean, I don't know if you can still throw Aaron Rodgers in there. People argue that you can't, but I mean, those are, you know, top three quarterbacks probably in the NFL right now. Does Lamar Jackson belong on that list? You can make the argument that he does belong on that list, but if he's not top five, he's definitely top 10. And the word collusion is being thrown around as far as, you know, the NFL teams, for whatever reason, working against Lamar Jackson. And I know that Arthur Blank brought up his style of play, and I think that's the easy out when talking about Lamar Jackson. I don't buy it. I think that's an excuse. If there's NFL ownership colluding against Lamar Jackson, I believe it's because he's not playing ball the way they normally play ball. He's not following their rules. He's not following their orthodoxy. And their rules and their orthodoxy dictates that you do it a certain way, and that's you have an agent that represents you, and they sit down with that agent without you in the room, and then they talk about the deal, and they talk about specifics and money and all of these things. And I, just coming from me, I think that's the reason. I think that's why NFL teams are not talking to Lamar Jackson and are flat out saying, no, we're not going to pursue him. It's not because of his style of play. It's not because of how many games he misses. It's none of that. It's because he doesn't play ball the way they want to play ball. And up until this point, Lamar Jackson has fared well. He got drafted a little later than we thought he would, probably a lot later than he should have gotten drafted if you look back at it in retrospect. But he landed on a good team with a good franchise. He won the MVP, had the Ravens in the playoffs every season. Baltimore fans excited about him. They tried to tailor the offense around him. We thought he ended up in a good spot, and everybody in Louisville goes out and buys Ravens gear. And not playing ball their way worked out in the beginning. But once you're in the NFL and you're in that machine, you've got to do what the machine tells you to do. And trust me, I got my problems with the NFL. I'm not going to sit here and act like the NFL is this great league. I mean, they talk out both sides of their mouth. The NFL can be rotten at times. I'm not here siding with the NFL. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to offer an explanation as to why Lamar Jackson is now stuck in the situation that he's in. Is he prepared to sit out an entire season in Baltimore? Because that's kind of looks like where it's headed right now. But I think Lamar Jackson has two options. I think he either bites his lip and plays and shows everybody what he's worth, and then he goes out and he gets the deal either the next year or the year after, or he continues his game of chicken and he sits out and let the chips fall where they may. I know there's people around here that are rooting for Lamar Jackson to sit out and kind of stick it to the Ravens. I don't know if that's his best option. I don't know if sitting out an entire year of an NFL season is going to make it any better for Lamar Jackson. In fact, I think it'll make it more difficult for Lamar Jackson if he decides to do that. And it's a bad situation. And a lot of it is his fault. Some of it's not. But he's not blameless here. He's been in this league for long enough to, he should know how things work. Pat Mahomes knows how it works. Joe Burrow knows how it works. All these guys know how it works. Josh Allen, they're getting big deals for big money. And Lamar Jackson should be in that group. And is it fair that he's not, just because he's not doing it the NFL way? There's an argument that it's not fair, but that's the reality of the situation. Let's read some text. Texter, sitting out killed Le'Veon Bell's career, 100%. I mean, he set out that one season with the Steelers, ended up at the Jets, never was the same. I mean, he was one of the best backs in the NFL, 100%. Texter, Lamar's style, lack of playoff wins, and passer percentage all hurt him. Again, I'm not saying that's not part of the reasoning. I don't think that's the number one reason. I think because Lamar Jackson isn't doing things they want him the way they want him to do it. That's what I think the number one reason is. Texter, other players negotiate contracts without agents like Baltimore's running back. I mean, that's a fair point, but again, this is a lot better. This is big money. This is big boy money. This isn't a running back money. This is franchise quarterback locked in hundreds of millions of dollars money. You've got to have an agent when you're talking about that kind of money. Running backs are interchangeable in the NFL. Franchise quarterbacks aren't. There's a reason why they get paid more than everybody else. Texter, Lamar using Ken Francis is like a high school recruit using Brandon Benner to shop them. Idiocy. Texter, are you asking a question or not? Yeah, I asked all kinds of questions. Yeah. Texter, but Ennis acts like everyone is dumb for not paying Lamar. It's not just Ennis. I'm not going to sit here and bash Ennis. There's a lot of people out there that say that. And again, they have some arguments here. Texter, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard on the radio in forever. Meek Mill's a mutual friend of Lamar and Robert Kraft. Yeah, absolutely. That was a hell of a sentence to read. Don't get me wrong. When I read that on SI.com, I had to do a double take there. Texter, just couldn't help yourself. Guy mentioned something good about Louisville, and you have to take a dig. Pitiful. Dana. I didn't take a dig. I said Louisville fans should be excited to hear that. I said that would be music to Louisville's ears. They had a bad season. They should be excited to get a five-star player that's ready to play. This guy's saying that Trenton Flowers is going to be good, Dana. I'm not taking a dig. I said that should be good news for Louisville fans. I said those exact same words that I just said. I didn't take a dig. You did have a bad season. They do need help. Louisville fans want to get excited. There's nothing that I said in those sentences that was factually incorrect. Everything I said was correct. It wasn't a dig. It was facts. Good grief. Hey, Nick. How's it going? I see Nicky DeBoot back there. Texter, agree with the agent in large part. Also think teams are seeing value in a rookie QB deal or affordable QB and build a great roster around that, too. I mean, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, but, I mean, it would be a shame if there's no Lamar Jackson in the NFL next season. I mean, he drives numbers. He sells jerseys. He's a popular player. I mean, top five, top 10 quarterback. We're going to say he's a top five popular player in the NFL for sure. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. That's all for our guests today. So enjoyed having them all on. When we get back on the other side of things, I'll talk a little bit more about the McDonald's All-American game. Also, an NBA mock draft is out. What Kentucky players on it, who's not on it, and then some surprising players that are on it. Also, we have Kentucky football salaries to discuss. We also have the Weird Wednesday. We're going to do that about 5:30. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's The Take here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.